Hello, Miner fans. Welcome once again, and thanks for listening to another edition of the Picks Up Podcast, exploring the sports, stories, issues, and personalities associated with UTEP athletics. I'm John Teicher. I hope that you, your family, and friends are well. Continued thanks to all of our healthcare professionals, first responders, and to all on the front line whose efforts are so significant and much appreciated. Although the start of the 2021 UTEP football season is months away, preparations are very much underway. Minor season ticket renewals and requests for new tickets will commence on National Signing Day, Wednesday, February 3rd. Head coach Dana Dimmel, who will be entering his fourth season at the Miners' helm, has announced the hiring of new coordinators on both sides of the football. UTEP's new offensive coordinator has more than three decades of college coaching experience, beginning as a graduate assistant for his alma mater, Syracuse University, in 1982. From there, he coached the running backs and quarterbacks for 4 years at Kent State, the quarterbacks at Kansas for nine, one tutoring quarterbacks at Bucknell, another is the passing game coordinator at Wyoming, offensive coordinator for 2 years at UConn, the next two is passing game coordinator at Houston, wide receivers coach for two at Southern Miss, one more coaching quarterbacks at Cincinnati, and finally, for 13 seasons, worked with quarterbacks, running backs, and was the offensive coordinator at Michigan State. Dave Warner joins us to talk about his career and his plans for the UTEP offense. Dave, that was a fairly extensive resume. Welcome you to El Paso, to UTEP, and to the UTEP football family.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Extensive is one way to put it. Another way is you're making me feel old with all those years coaching football.
I count 11 schools in all. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I've lost track. That sounds about right. But they've like most college coaches, you get around a little bit, and they've all had their pluses and minuses. But I'm very excited about where I'm at right now today.
When you received the call from Dana asking you to join him again at UTEP, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I was excited. I've stayed in touch with Dane. I've worked for him at two previous locations, at Wyoming for a year, and then I've 2 years at Houston. And so I knew what to expect coming into a situation like this, and that's why I was very excited to accept his offer and be a part of UTEP football here. But Dane has done a great job of places he's at, and you know, I think he's taken over places where obviously it's a rebuilding. And he's done a good job of putting things together. And I'm happy to be a part of the continuation of UTEP football coming back around.
How much of a sales job did he have to do to convince you to come?
Not much. Because, well, you know, again, we stayed in touch throughout the years. And I sort of was hoping he might give me an offer when I knew things were changing here in El Paso. So I was prepared and very inviting to the offer.
You were obviously ready to get back in after being out of coaching a year ago.
Right. Yeah. Coach D'Antonio at Michigan State retired somewhat unexpectedly in February. And as you probably know, that's a difficult time to try and find a job in this profession. So I sort of resigned myself to sitting out 2020. And great family time. I really had enjoyed spending more time with my wife and kids. And obviously, as the season went on, though, at first I was fine sitting there in my living room watching football on Saturdays. But after a couple of weeks, that got old, and I got a little bit of the itch to get back at it. And I knew all along that's what I wanted to do. So I'm happy to be back at it today.
No, I guess. Was a good sign. Although if you were going to sit out any year, I think 2020 was probably the year to do it, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It most certainly was. I've heard that, and I agree with that statement 100%.
How much did you know about El Paso and the UTEP program before Dana reached out?
Very little about the program, or in the fact that I was following Dana, and I know a couple other coaches on the staff here, so just trying to stay in touch throughout the year, the previous year, but certainly the years. I knew a little bit about it. I knew as he got here, it was a situation, again, where he needed to have a couple of years to try and get his guys in I know reflecting back to Houston, I joined him at U of H after 1 year, I think. Can't remember if it was 1 year or 2 years he was there. And I saw when I walked into that place a great team of talent through his recruiting. And I think they've done the same thing here. Dana's an excellent recruiter, and he surrounds himself with not just good football coaches, but good recruiters. And to get a program rebuilt like we need to here, you need good coaches and most especially good recruiters. And I see that's taking place here. Like I said, it took place at Houston. We didn't finish a job there, but certainly there was a lot of wins after we left there in that program. And I'm expecting the same thing to take place here as far as, now coach is getting his guys on this football team, surround themselves with some, not just talent, but character. And I think things are definitely looking up, and good days are in front of us.
You and he were both assistants at the same time several years ago in the Big 12. Of course, you at Kansas, he at Kansas State. Did you know Dana much at all at that time?
Yeah, I mean, certainly Kansas and Kansas State. I think he came in 1 year after I came into Kansas. I got there in 88. He may have got there in 89, maybe something like that. And obviously Kansas State's a rival. So we played every year. And, we had back then in the day, you had golf tournaments among assistant coaches in the Big 12. And so you got to know people. And, there's no doubt that we had a lot of respect for the Kansas State staff, what they did there under Bill Snyder. And certainly Dana was a big part of that. But we respected that. And we got to know each other on a fairly good basis. And that's what led to us working together down the road.
Yeah, I was going to ask you specifically how the opportunity at Wyoming came together.
Yeah, I was at Bucknell at the time, and he made a last sort of a late decision to make a change at the quarterback pass game coordinator. And really it was July, I believe, when he called me out of the blue. It was an opportunity for me to take a step up in the profession. And I was excited to do it, which turned into a little bit of a whirlwind going out to Laramie, Wyoming in July and trying to learn a new offense and get ready for a football season. But it was challenging. But looking back, it was definitely the best move and one that I was very happy to take.
Any particular remembrance of your one season with the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were 8-3. We had a good year. We lost to Air Force, who I believe won the Mountain West at the time. It was just the Mountain West there. And we lost to Georgia at the end of the year. But the most disappointing thing that I remember, I hate to remember disappointing things, but we were upset. We were probably in line for a pretty good bowl game. And we were upset by a Tulsa team the very last game of the year, which was very unexpected and very disappointing. But overall, it was a good, solid campaign. Again, we had a lot of successes there. Actually played Georgia pretty good at Georgia that year. But left with a little bit of a disappointing taste in our mouth because we didn't finish what we started.
So after Wyoming, you spent 2 years as UConn's offense coordinator. You reconnect with Dana at Houston. What do you recall about your time with the Cougars?
As I mentioned, when I went down there to rejoin him in Houston, there was no doubt there was talent there that he brought in, that he and his staff brought in. And I've recruited Houston. I've recruited Dallas when I was at Kansas. I'm familiar with, recruiting Texas. And they did a great job of keeping that talent in the Houston area and in the state, keeping it at home. And that was pretty obvious by our team and by my communication with high school coaches in the area. They respected him and that staff and what they have done. And, so we went in there. It was still a struggle. We struggled mightily the first year. But as we got going, we had a pretty good third-year campaign and finished it up with a win over I believe it was a top 10 or top 15 Louisville team at the last game of the year. But unfortunately, like I said, we were unable to finish what he started there, but we left that program with very good talent.
I would assume you've probably recruited all of the country. In particular, was Texas an area that you enjoyed recruiting?
Loved it. Oh yeah, absolutely. I loved it. You know, all my years at Kansas, I was either in the Houston or in the Dallas area recruiting every year for all 9 years there. I recruited down in Houston a little bit when I was at UConn, a little bit when I was at Michigan State. And obviously when I was my couple of years with Dana in Houston, I spent time mostly in the Dallas area. So I just love Texas football. I mean, it's obviously it's very important. You know, you get a chance in the recruiting world to be able to go out and watch and practice in the springtime, whether it be 6:30 in the morning, 12 noon, or, you know, 6 o'clock at night. I mean, they're out there playing. You can do some great evaluating, and it's good quality football. It's well coached. The high school coaches throughout the state are very knowledgeable, and they do a great job. So, you know, on top of all that talent that is in the state, they're well coached. So it's been great being able to recruit the area. And I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work out, what my area is going to be yet. We haven't got that far in recruiting, but certainly would love the opportunity to get back into Houston, Dallas, whatever the case might be.
Let's talk bit about Dana as a young head coach. As you think back to his time when you worked with him at Wyoming and Houston, what was he like back then?
Probably no different then than he is now, basically. I mean, Coach D, he is who he is. And, you know, he's very involved in the offense, very knowledgeable as a not just as a former offensive line guy, but as an offensive guy, as an offensive coordinator, very knowledgeable. He knows the offense that he wants to run, and he enjoys that. And beyond that, I mean, he's just, you know, I've been a lot of places. You said 11. I've worked for a lot of different head coaches, but he's one of the best. He's a great guy to work for. That's why I jumped at the opportunity again to come back with him for the third time, because, you know, he lets you be a coach. He lets you do your deal. Certainly, you have to produce good results in what you do, but he leaves you alone and trusts in you to do your job. And along with that, it gives you time for family and relaxation and those sort of things. So great guy to work for, but that's the way he was in Wyoming in 1998, I guess it was, or 97, can't remember. And that's the way he was in Houston. That's the way he still is today.
Wondering if you're familiar with others on this UTEP staff.
Yes, sir. A couple guys I was with at Wyoming. Matt Wallerstadt was the defensive line coach at Wyoming back then. And then certainly at Houston. Barrack Neely, by the way, is our running back coach. I was his coach. He was a quarterback at U of H. So certainly know him and have been with him the whole time. Joe Robinson was with us as a special teams guy there. Our new defensive coordinator, Bradley Del Pivito, spent a couple of years with him at Houston as well. So there's definitely been some familiarity with the people here, and that, you know, again, that makes it attractive, and that makes me feel even more comfortable coming into the situation that we're in right now.
You brought up Barrack Neely. Give us a sense of how talented an athlete he was.
Well, he came in as a freshman, and, you know, I was not there when we recruited him, but that was one of the first things that Dana said is that, you know, we got a couple quarterbacks in, but we got one from Dallas, Barrack Neely, who's got some special talent. And we put him in a situation where he was able to play pretty early, and he did a great job. Unfortunately, he got hurt early in that season. But he did a super job of coming in and taking control of our offense. And we highlighted his talent. He was, I guess you would say, he was a little bit of a athletic quarterback, you know, Had the ability to run the football as well as throw it around. Had a real good arm. But he did a good job in all facets of our offense. And, again, unfortunately, he got hurt. But, you know, by his career, you know, through the next 7-8 years at Texas State and then in Canada, he's had a lot of talent.
David, all your years in coaching, you did compete against UTEP just once. Do you have any remembrance of that?
I remember that now. I totally forgotten my mind until you just brought it up. Probably was 85 at Kent State.
1985.
Yeah. I never remembered that. I never thought about that until you just brought it up right here. And as you start saying, I'm like, when the heck did I play against UTEP? And then all of a sudden it clicked into my mind. At Dick Stadium in Kent State. Yep, I believe we beat them.
It was a November day. Kent State, the Flashes, won it 51-24. And just kind of as an aside, UTEP won only one game that year. And it was the very next week after losing to Kent State, they upset defending national champion BYU in the Sun Bowl. How about that?
No way. Holy cow. Well, I guess we got them ready for that next week's game then.
You know, I can tell you, I remember driving from Cleveland to Kent after flying into Cleveland. And again, as I mentioned, it was in November, and just the beautiful foliage on the drive there. I remember it vividly to this day, somewhat 35, 30, 36 years later.
Yeah. Northeast Ohio is a beautiful place. You know, especially in the fall like that. You know, gets a little bit cold and snowy in wintertime there too.
Dave, you've taken part in 16 bowl games as a coach and played in one yourself at Syracuse, and yet you've never experienced the Sun Bowl game.
I haven't, no. And that's a little bit shocking. Certainly I've seen it on TV 100 times and never actually have been to El Paso until about, 12, 13 days ago, whatever it was when I showed up here. Very impressed with, and I really didn't know what to expect, you know, from El Paso as a city, from UTEP as a university, facility wise, so on and so forth. But I've been impressed. I've been impressed with the facilities and certainly been impressed with the people.
What's your impression of the setting itself of the Sun Bowl Stadium?
I think it's awesome. I just looking out my office, over the football field there and to be able to see the mountains in the background. I mean, obviously that's what you see when you watch the Sun Bowl on TV, the cameras coming across from the press box there, seeing the mountains in the background. I mean, that's just a cool, cool view. And to be able to look out my office window and see that right now gives me chills. I think it's really cool.
All right, let's go back again. You're a Pennsylvania native. Was it just football in your youth, or did you play them all?
No, back in the day, I did about a little bit of everything. I did basketball, baseball, messed around in track a little bit, and wrestling. But football was sort of always my first love, and fortunately was able to continue playing at Syracuse and beyond that. So it was a good choice on my part.
Were you always a quarterback?
I was, yes, I was. When I was younger, I probably wanted to play a little bit of running back, but I was always a quarterback, and that's sort of how I was groomed. Like everybody, though, as you work your way up, you have some frustrations, and I played defense as well, and thought maybe things didn't work out immediately at Syracuse for me. And everybody wants immediate gratification that wasn't working out right off the bat. And I said, well, maybe play wide receiver, maybe play DB. But I was lucky to stay at quarterback there and be able to have a little bit of success through the years there.
If you were to give us a self-scouting report from your playing days, how would it read?
Probably mostly a running quarterback. If you look at my stats, that would probably substantiate that, unfortunately, through a couple interceptions too many probably. but I was able to, and this is back in the day of the trap option, freeze option, you know, prior to Don McPherson getting there, and when he had a ton of success running football. That's sort of how we sort of ran our offenses through a quarterback run game. And, you know, my years there was Frank Maloney was the head coach, and Tom Coughlin was the offensive coordinator there for a few years. And then Dick McPherson came in, and Jim Tressel was my quarterback coach there. And I was actually a GA with him for a couple of years. But that was pretty much the offense with both staffs there, trying to highlight a run game. You know, we had some good running backs there through the years. And but to answer your question is, you know, we probably relied heavily on the run game.
As a Pennsylvania guy, though, and this is certainly understandable, I understand that you really wanted to play for Joe Paterno at Penn State.
Well, you know, I grew up about 2 hours from there, and Penn State was a team. And I can honestly say, though, he probably made the right decision not recruiting me. I was at their camp a couple of years, and, you know, so I was certainly evaluated, but they didn't recruit me. And my mom, to this day, God rest her soul, is not forgiven Joe Paterno for that. But I think it all worked out for the best. I ended up at a great place with great people. And to be honest with you, Coach McPherson and Coach Tressel are sort of the guys that got me started in this crazy profession of collegiate football coaching. So I owe a great debt of gratitude to those guys for getting me going in this fun deal.
When did coaching first enter your mind?
Like I said, I don't know that it wasn't necessarily a lifelong dream. It was, I had a couple tryouts with, I was tryout with the Philadelphia Eagles after my playing career was over. I played in 4 years, so I didn't redshirt. And, after I got released by the Eagles, Coach Tressel called me up and said, listen, you got a fifth year left in your scholarship. You don't have eligibility. You can't play, but come out and be a student coach. So I did that, and really, you know, sort of enjoyed it. And then the following year, I tried out with the New Jersey Generals in the first year of the USFL, and that didn't work out. And Coach Tress said, come on back and be a GA. So, I spent 2 years as a really getting my graduate degree, one as a sort of a student coach, but I was taking grad classes. So that was the door that opened up for me through Coach McPherson and Coach Tressel. And from there, I was just the luckiest guy in the world. After 2 years, I got a full-time job at Kent State, which, you know, nowadays that's hard to do. I mean, this profession is hard to break into, especially at a Division I level. I had a connection and was able to get going at Kent State. And that sort of got things started for me from a full-time coaching perspective.
Dick McPherson, Jim Tressel, what kind of guidance do you remember receiving from them that really really helped you a great deal?
Well, Coach Mack was he's a great coach. Obviously, he had a ton of success at Syracuse. But the thing I remember most is mostly Jim Tressel. I mean, I played for him, but I also coached with him. I was sort of his GA, and that's really where I learned football and learned the intricacies of coaching and the details of it. Coach Tress's big deal was there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. He wasn't so hard on, this is the way I want it done. This is the only way to do it. He was more about, let's get it done. Here's the way to go about it. But bottom line is getting the job done. And that's what I really respected about him. And he's just, he's been involved in my career. I really haven't taken many jobs without first calling Jim Tressel and asking his opinion on things. So just got a ton of respect for him.
You mentioned Kent State, and that was the start of your relationship with Glenn Mason there, and then also at Kansas, obviously. What did you learn from Glenn?
Probably, similar to what Dana's been doing. The program at Kansas was down. So it was definitely a rebuilding situation. We went in there. And again, I was a young coach at the time and really not knowing my left from my right. And I went in there with coach and we rebuilt the program and, program, I think they were 0-11 or 0-10 when we got there. And within a couple of years, we're going to bowl games. And, 1995, we're finished 10 in the country or something like that. So I learned, how to rebuild programs and also from Glenn Mason, because obviously he was a very experienced coach, just how to, again, learn additional things about how to coach football, how to coach an offense. He was a run first guy, offensive line also. He was involved in the offense a little bit. And just learned about the toughness factor, the discipline factor that it takes to get a program turned around and get a program going in the right direction.
You worked for Jeff Bauer, who had a tremendously, tremendously successful career at Southern Miss. What was his influence?
I thought, again, there's another offensive guy. He was, when I went in there, I coached wide receivers there for a couple of years. He was actually coaching the wide receivers prior to that as a head coach. So you talk about going in a tough situation. I go in there and I'm coaching the same position that the head coach was coaching the year before. So that was interesting. But he, as you mentioned, had a ton of success. And I just really thought that he did a fantastic job trying to prepare teams week in and week out in Conference USA, and just had a ton of respect for what he did as a football coach there. He did it over the long haul. He was there for a lot of years, and they had success year after year after year. So he was able to sustain, and that's the thing that really impressed me about him.
And of course, Antonio at both Cincinnati and Michigan State. Why was he so good to work for, and what most did you take from him?
Coach D'Antonio and myself, we go all the way back to Kansas. He was the secondary coach for four of my 9 years at Kansas. So we were on the same staff with Glenn Mason there at Kansas. So I got to know him then. And then when I talked with him about joining him at Cincinnati, that opportunity was really exciting. And throughout the 1 year at Cincinnati and 13 years at Michigan State, the one thing I say about Coach D'Antonio is he's just a genuine guy, and I'm not saying that other coaches aren't this way, but it was very obvious that he was in it for the players. He was in it to turn 18-year-old boys and 22-year-old men and teach them right from wrong and discipline them to grow and to become better citizens, along with better football players. And so bottom line is he developed young men. And along with that, I think it was very obvious through our years there, he developed great football players. We never had the best recruiting classes in the world. But we certainly had to develop young guys into being excellent football players in the Big Ten Conference. So he did a great job of that through the years. And, again, through 13 years there, it's a pretty good run. We had some good years.
Your biggest influence, would you say it was it Mark? Was it Jim Tressel? Was it Glenn Mason? Or was it somebody else?
I'd have to say it'd be I'd say it's Jim Tressel, because he initially that's what sort of my early years that sort of molded me and made me the coach I am today. But when you spend 14 years with one guy, Mark D'Antonio, as I have, certainly that's going to rub off. And there were 14 good years. I wouldn't have been there if there weren't good years, and I wouldn't have worked for a guy that wasn't a great guy. So, being with him 14 years, certainly there's a part of him, I guess, that's in my coaching now, embedded in me, and for that I'm grateful.
Let's talk about some of the players you've had the the pleasure to work with over the years. We'll start at Michigan State, I guess. You coached Connor Cook, Kirk Cousins, Nick Foles, Brian Hoyer, NFL quarterbacks all at Michigan State. Besides their obvious talent, what really set them apart?
I think character and work ethic. You know, at the football is a tough game, and it takes a lot of effort, a lot of time. But probably the quarterback position is one that might even be a little bit more so. You got to spend time not just with me as a coach, but you need to spend time with your teammates, watching film, talking game plan, evaluating defenses, all in the preparation week in and week out. Whether you're a starting quarterback, the backup, or whether you're a scout team quarterback. And I think all those quarterbacks you mentioned sort of paid their dues. I don't think there's – well, Connor started as a redshirt freshman, I believe. But most of those guys, they paid their dues and sort of worked their way up to become the quarterbacks that they did and lead Michigan State to success. Kirk Cousins, for example, he struggled his true freshman year. But he was a scout team quarterback, and he prepared – I mean, he would watch, the opposing team's offense so he could give the defense the best look possible. He'd do that like a lot. It wasn't just like he would go through more. He did that a lot. He tried to give the defense the best look. But then he'd also watch the opposing team's defense and know our game plan and prepare himself as if he was playing on Saturday. So he spent the time. And I think they all did that. And I think that shows in the success they've had through the years, the consistency.
Who are some of the other very best talents that you really enjoyed working with?
Some of the other best talent place-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had, just going back through the years, at Kansas, first of all, we certainly didn't have an abundance of talent when we got there. But I felt like when we left there, we had some real good football players. I mean, I had Mark Williams was a quarterback that had there for a couple of years, 1995. He played in the Senior Bowl or the Hula Bowl, whatever it was over there. And he offensively, we had pretty good talent around there. So it was a fun group those couple of years when I was at Kansas. I remember my one year at Wyoming. We were pretty salty on offense. Can't remember all the details because I was only there one year, but our offense was pretty potent at that time. So I've been around, some good offenses, been around some that have struggled a little bit. I think even you go back to my last year at Houston, we were surrounded with some pretty good talent. We had some good running backs there for sure. And Barrick, was a good quarterback. So been around it, but probably no more so than some of those years, our prime years at Michigan State in 2012, 13, 14, 15, right in through there, we were cooking pretty good.
You've coached in the power conferences, the Big 8, obviously, which became the Big 12, and then the Big 10. What for you was the most enjoyable thing about working in those leagues in particular?
You're at the highest level, I guess. You've sort of gotten to the, unless you have aspirations of coaching in the NFL, which I never really have. When you're coaching there, you're sort of at the highest level. There's a sense of pride to being there. And most especially, there's a sense of pride when you're successful at that, at those places, when you're able to, to beat, top teams in the country on a consistent basis, which we did at Michigan State. So that was fun. And the highs are higher, but at the same time, the lows are lower. So when we had some problems or some rough weeks, whether it be at Kansas or whether it be at Michigan State, for sure, you build up Michigan State and you're top five team for 3 years in a row, and you don't get it done after that, then all of a sudden the disappointments are much greater as well. So, but that's part of the fun. That's the challenge. That's what we're in it for. Wouldn't have it any other way.
taking Kansas and Michigan State out of the mix, all the other places you coached, is there a stop or two among them that were favorites for you?
I spent 1 year at Bucknell. And Bucknell, people might not understand, small Patriot school, Patriot League school in Pennsylvania. And it's sort of a parallel to a Ivy League type school. So a lot of great kids. You know, kids aren't talented, aren't the most talented, but they're very disciplined, very hard workers. And we went, I think we went 10-1 or 11-1. We lost last game of the year to Colgate for the Patriot League championship. But that was just a fun year. And then beyond that, not to sound corny or anything like that, but really enjoyed Wyoming and Houston because of working for Coach Dimmel and working with the coaching staffs that have been at those places. And that, you know, when you spend all your time, your hours that you spend as a football coach, you know, in the office on the practice field and you're around the same group of guys the whole time, you know, it's got to be a great group of guys. Otherwise, it's not worth it. And at those places, that certainly was the case. That's been real fun as well.
All right, let's get back to the present here at UTEP. It's been just a couple of weeks since you've come on board. How much video have you watched? How familiar are you with the personnel that you're going to work with?
I've been watching a lot of video. That's basically what we've been doing here the last week and a half, is just watching the eight games we played, breaking it down by play concept, breaking it down by down and distance, breaking it down by field position, just watching pretty much over and over. That's where we spend our time. Trying to learn the offense. And at the same time, it's tough being the COVID situation going on this day and age, but trying to, meet the players. Most obviously I've met the quarterbacks and so forth, but trying to get a chance to know this football team is a little bit more challenging given today's atmosphere. But I've been watching a ton of film. That's what we're getting ready to do here in a little bit again, get back at it. And it's been great. It's been great. A great group of offensive coaches here that we've sort of been just going through and sort of clinicking each other on UTEP football.
Any initial thoughts on Gavin Hardison and Calvin Brownholtz, who, of course, are the top two returning quarterbacks?
Both have impressed me. Certainly, Gavin has played a handful of football here. Coach Dimmel said way back when we first started talking about me coming here that Gavin has a strong arm, and that was obvious watching, even just watching videotape. So I haven't seen him throw in person, but there's no doubt he's got a good arm. Calvin, what stands out there is just just toughness, just sort of a hard-nosed quarterback type guy. So I'm anxious to get him out there and work with him in person, try and take him to the next level as well as this offense.
Yeah, I think you've arrived here at a pretty good time. There are other proven skill players, Justin Garrett, Jacob Cowing, Deion Hankins, a veteran group of offensive linemen returning as well.
Yeah, I've been impressed. Been impressed with the whole offense that I've watched. The offensive line looks like they've got some got some size, got some talent. They're certainly very well coached. That's obvious by Coach Simmons. And then the skill positions, I think are pretty good. I mean, I've seen them on film enough to be able to say that, certainly we got some running backs that show toughness, the physicality that goes into trying to build a football team with a good run game. I mean, that's certainly there. And then there's talent. I mean, we've got some tight ends and fullbacks are as good as I've been around in a while. We got the toughness is there. And then the skill out the wide receiver position is very obvious. I think there's a little bit of speed there. And there's a little bit of talent to be able to go and get the ball in tough situations. So we're surrounded with talent. We just got to go out and make it happen.
You know, as you mentioned earlier, Dana Dimmel, offensively inclined. How closely do your philosophies align?
Oh, I think they're hand in hand. Otherwise, this wouldn't work. Otherwise, I I mean, again, Dane and I have worked together multiple places, and we're working together today because I think our attitudes, our philosophy meshes. And that's, you know, to be able to build a run game. And obviously you have to have quick strike, big play potential, but there's not a whole lot of places I've coached over the last few years that implement a fullback. You know, we were sort of a dinosaur at Michigan State playing with a fullback sometimes. And that's the case here as well. So just by that simple fact, you can see that we sort of know that we're both on the same page.
You mentioned looking forward to getting on the field, and it won't be long until spring drills begin. Specifically, what are you looking to accomplish in spring drills?
Well, I think, you know, this day and age of football, I mean, it's not like you're installing the offense and from scratch and players don't know it. Football is year round. So it's not like like we need to teach them the offense over again. I think right now we're trying to fine tune things, catch some of the younger guys up, from a knowledge standpoint, offensively, catch myself up from a knowledge point standpoint, offensively. And then beyond that, it's, this spring for me, I think, is going to be working with the quarterbacks is going to be fundamentals and sort of a mindset, quarterback's mindset. But fundamentals, when you talk about footwork, because I think that's where a quarterback's platform is when is he's throwing the football. I mean, it starts with the footwork. So I think that's important. And then, a quarterback's mindset, how to approach each game, each play, each game, I think I can add some things in that aspect.
Dave, enough football. Tell us about your family.
I got a 30-year-old daughter who's married. Actually, her husband was a video coordinator at Nebraska a few years ago. He's out of the business now, but he's they were in the football business for a little bit. They live in Georgia, and my wife and 16-year-old son, who is a more of a basketball player than a football player. He's playing basketball right now, they'll be getting out here. He's going to be staying back there for basketball season and hopefully get out here to visit soon. But just got a great family. My wife is a football wife. She's a football junkie. She lived and died with me on Saturdays, so I wouldn't have it any other way with someone who understands the business. So she certainly does that.
It's the only way it works. Yes, Dave, I appreciate you taking the time. Thanks again. We welcome you and your family to El Paso and to UTEP, and certainly look forward to seeing the Miners on the field in the spring. And of course, once the 2021 season begins.
All right, John, appreciate your time and picks up. Let's get her done.
And thank you for listening to the Picks Up Podcast, a UTEP Athletics production. Stay well. As Dave said, Picks Up and go Miners. Let's talk again next time on another Picks Up Podcast.